Well, 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 looky here. It's time to fry some fish. Are you ready? Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 477 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. In this week's podcast, we're mixing up some resistive random access memory, some honey, and a dash of neuromorphic computing. It's going to be delightful. A little later on, Ashish Pankali, General Manager and VP of Crossbar, joins me to discuss the biggest advantages of Crossbar's RERAM, or Resistive Random Access Memory, and the new exciting applications that this kind of memory is perfect for. But before we bring in Ashish, it's time for a little news you may have missed. What if we could use honey to develop environmentally friendly components for neuromorphic computing? Sounds a little crazy, right? But this is exactly the idea at the heart of some new research coming out of Washington State University's School of Engineering and Computer Science. In a recent study published in the Journal of Physics D, this team of researchers were able to make a memristor out of honey. Yes, really. Feng Zhao, associate professor of WSU's School of Engineering and Computer Science and corresponding author of this study, explains the study like this. He says, "This is a very small device with a simple structure, but it has very similar functionalities to a human neuron. This means if we can integrate millions or billions of these honey memristors together, then they can be made into a neuromorphic system that functions much like a human brain." So, how did they do it? Well, Zhao and Brandon Suoka, a WSU grad student and first author of this study, first created these new sweet memristors, which are only about the size of a human hair, by processing honey into a solid form. Then, using two metal electrodes, they made a honey sandwich of sorts by putting this new solid honey in the middle, which has a structure that is actually quite similar to a human synapse. And what they found when they tested these new honey memristors was super cool. They found that these memristors could quite easily mimic the work of synapses with high switching on and off speeds of 100 and 500 nanoseconds, respectively. They also found that these honey memristors were also able to emulate two other very important synapse functions: spike rate dependent plasticity and spike timing dependent plasticity, which are responsible for the learning processes in our brains and how we retain new information in neurons. So why honey? Well, first, it doesn't spoil. It also has a very low moisture concentration as well, so bacteria can't survive on it either. So these types of memristors could be quite stable and reliable for a long time. These particular memristor chips developed at WSU should also be a good fit, particularly for neuromorphic computing systems, because they can tolerate the lower levels of heat generated by these types of systems. Zhao also points out that recycling these memristors could also be quite easy. He says, "When we want to dispose of devices using computer chips made of honey, we can easily dissolve them in water. Because of these special properties, honey is very useful for creating renewable and biodegradable neuromorphic systems." So, yes, there is a lot more work to be done in the realm of neuromorphic computing. But maybe these honey memristors could help this new kind of computing be a whole lot more environmentally friendly. So, if you want even more information about these sweet new memristors, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Ashish from Crossbar and talk all about ReRAM technology. Let's go.
Hi, Ashish. Thank you so much for joining me.
Not at all. My pleasure.
So for my audience who may not know, what is Crossbar all about?
Well, Crossbar is a privately funded company based in Santa Clara, California. And we're the leaders in filamentary resistive RAM technology. And this offers a platform for non-volatile memory. And the ReRAM technology targets applications that require certain aspects of memory. So for instance, high-speed non-volatile memory, that's particularly available at smaller geometry nodes. That's what we're targeting. And then high-speed, high-density non-volatile memory as well, including for embedded applications. That's a unique feature. And then last but not least, highly secure physical and clonable functions. And these are targeting cryptographic and authentication applications.
Excellent. Specifically, what do you see are the biggest advantages of your resistive random access memory?
So the first one is that it's manufacturable in a standard CMOS process, which is unlike, you know, some of the incumbent technologies like flash technology, like Sonos technology. You have to have a specific process to manufacture them. So Crossbar filamentary ReRAM is manufacturable in a standard CMOS process. The second thing is that it scales down the geometry nodes really well, unlike some of the incumbents, again, like flash. As you might know, flash technology pretty much runs out of gas at about the 28 nanometer, maybe if you push it down to the 22, but certainly doesn't go further beyond that in terms of geometry node, because it's based on holding charge as a mechanism for data state. And there's just too little charge to kind of hold on to for long periods of time. So unlike that, ReRAM technology scales beautifully down to nodes well below 22 nanometer. In fact, we're currently working on a 12 nanometer process for a licensee that we've been working with for some time. The other feature that is extremely interesting, especially at a time like we are at today, we can talk more about this later, is the secure features kind of backing up our technology. You know, the key things behind security for memory are, number one, reliability. You want to be able to store data and you want to make sure that the data is still there, you know, when you need it. So you don't want it to disappear. So it's okay if there's data that's behind storing a picture or something like that. If you have a couple of pixels that are not quite right, you're probably not going to notice the difference. But for secure applications where every bit is critical, certainly you don't want to take the chance of not being able to retrieve the data when it's required. And this is key for, you know, cryptographic functions, authentication, secure communications, etc. So there are flavors of our technology that we can make it so that we can store data for in excess of 100 years, if you can believe that, at a temperature of 85 degrees Celsius, you know, which is a standard metric. Typically, you'll have non-volatile memory holding data for guaranteed to be for about 10 years or so. That's kind of the yardstick. And then last but not least, part of the security aspect is that we'd like the memory to be able to be resistant to all sorts of attacks, which are becoming more prevalent. One is just from an environmental perspective, can you hold the data? You know, you stick it in a vault and hopefully it's still there when you need it. But then kind of sort of independent of that and going beyond in the security aspect dimension, if someone is hell-bent on trying to gather your data because it's so critical to them for whatever reason, malicious otherwise, then will they be able to get access to that data? So that's a very, very important theme in today's world. And that's another security feature that we've been homing in on, offering value to our customers.
Excellent. Now, Ashish, you guys recently announced a new application for your ReRAM technology for secure storage and processing. So tell me more about this application.
The motivation for this is, you know, a little bit more to what we just talked about, is a number of connected IoT devices is increasing at a really, really fast clip. Some counts put these interconnected IoT devices to be, you know, about 30 billion total. There are counts that are bigger than that, but it's tens of billions of interconnected IoT devices that'll be around in a few years from now. We're already, you know, well into the tens of billions at this point. So what's happening is that the number of attacks on these devices, in addition to the count growing, the number of attacks is growing as well on such devices, because these devices are used for the basis of, you know, behind storage and communications and secure processing. So people are motivated for whatever reason to attack them and try and steal data. That's growing as well, and that's causing personal and enterprise damage, as we know about. We hear about some stories almost on a daily basis, sadly, about this. And then what we're finding is that the attackers are getting more motivated and sophisticated in their means than ever before. It's not just, okay, well, let me try and steal something here and there, and if I do it, it's fine. If I don't, okay, so be it. But I think the motivation level has gone to a point where there's so much whether it's financial transactions or identity or taking over enterprises and releasing personal data from there. So protection is key, is kind of paramount to some of these key applications. That's one other motivation for us. And then based on this motivation, what we recently announced was that Crossbar's ReRAM-based memory is inherently superior in providing protection against invasive attacks. In other words, if there's someone with an intent to steal data for whatever reason, then a Crossbar ReRAM technology inherently provides superiority in terms of being able to protect against those kinds of hacks. What we are specifically announcing right now is that in this line of thought, what we announced was that we engaged a very experienced third party based out of New Mexico, and we challenged them with attempting to read the contents that we had stored on memory arrays that we shared with them. And we said, use any and all means available to you, you know, to infer the contents of our memory. And whether it's a direct read or some sort of inference, you know, that's fine. Just tell us what you think the content is. And they used equipment that they had access to. This is a company that's been around for 25 years, very potent in terms of technology for reverse engineering semiconductors, delamination, destructuring, all sorts of equipment at their disposal and the experience. And the bottom line was that after all of their attempts, including destructive delamination of silicon, they were unable to infer the contents of our memory. That's specifically what we announced yesterday.
Wow, that is super cool, Ashish. So speaking of security, last year you guys announced another new application, like you mentioned before, for your ReRAM technology for physical unclonable functions or PUFs. Now, tell me more about this application. I have talked about this in the past on FishFry, but I'm interested in your connection here.
So PUF, or physical unclonable function, is essentially a digital fingerprint that enables every piece of silicon or IC to be different, to be unique, even though they might be fabricated on the same silicon process. And even though they might come from the same line, the same wafer, next to each other, ICs will be different based on such a function being available to them. And then what it enables is the uniqueness can be used for several applications, including authentication. How do you know a certain device came from, is exactly that device as advertised and nothing else? They could be fake devices that could lead to a lot of kind of financial losses, print cartridges that, you know, certain companies value, make sure their consumers end up buying their print cartridges and not third parties, et cetera. So it makes sure that, you know, there's authentication. And then certain cryptographic functions require a PUF for their applications, their end applications as well. So this particular announcement shares Crossbar's ReRAM technology can be used to create highly secure PUF elements with multiple inherent advantages compared to some other hardware incumbent technologies. A lot of these are based on the SRAM as a basis. What we found is that the Crossbar ReRAM-based PUF element is inherently more secure, and it has several advantages over some of the incumbent technologies. What we find is that the PUF element, now taken along with the reliable memory and reliable storage capability, offers technology from the same platform ReRAM process that we offer, and that is key to addressing the cryptographic authentication applications that enable secure computation, storage, and communications, which are at the heart of these, you know, overall security theme that we hear a lot from our customers.
Excellent. Well, Ashish, this has been super cool. But before I let you go, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods these days for one reason or another, supply chain, lockdown, lack of the ability to travel. So Ashish, if you could have one thing right now, one meal right now, what would it be?
Well, I think I'll have to lean on my Indian heritage, East Indian heritage for that one. I think I'd love to have naan and palak paneer right now if I could.
And I would take you up on that. Absolutely. I may have to go have some Indian food for lunch now. Thanks. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Not at all, Amelia. Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournal TFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 15th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton. You've been fried.